What's up, heretics? It's the Religion of Speed podcast, the show for car nerds by car nerds. And I am amazed that I still remember that after the month and a half we've taken off. I am Matt Overstreet.
I am Chris Huffman.
And I'm Hamza.
And today on the show, we have a special guest, the winner of Sunday Cup, much to the dismay of many other Sunday Cup drivers, Lucas Urban.
Hello.
Man, it is good to be back in the garage, though. We were grilling out today and, you know, drinking some beers and hanging out, and it's been a minute, and sorry that the feed was dead for a little while, but, you know, that just means we have a lot to talk about.
Well, it wasn't dead. You put up two episodes on YouTube and didn't tell anybody.
Well, I mean, even between, like, launching those and now, it's been a minute. But, yes, I will work on promotion better. I'm sorry. I'm terrible at promoting myself.
Well, no. See, I would do the promotion if you told me something happened.
See, I didn't even know it was a secret. I was like, oh, sweet, we're on YouTube. Like, I didn't even listen to the last two. I just watched them on YouTube.
Well, much like trying to get us ready from grilling to sitting down podcasting, this whole thing is like herding cats, myself included. So.
A cat herding cats.
Yes. But we have a lot of news to talk about and catch up on. Lucas, I'm glad to have you here to have your insights on some of this news. And then I do want to talk about racing and grid life and stuff like that with you. But to start, it is the Religion of Speed podcast. So, of course, we have to talk about the GR Corolla. And the news dropped way like a week after we recorded our last one that the actual MSRP is going to be just under $37,000, which is great. And nobody's ever going to get one for that price.
Oh, yeah. The dealer markup is probably going to be an additional $37,000.
Yeah, they'll just double it, right?
Yeah.
I've said it before. There's no way I'm paying more than like $50,000 for a Corolla.
Is this the one where the rear windows go up? Or?
Yeah, no. Yeah, this is the full car version. Okay. If you want the one that has less stuff, you have to pay more.
You have to pay more, right. No, which makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, so... there's a version of the GR, is it the Cup? What is it?
The Mazio? Or
yeah, so there's named after the Toyota guy, right?
Like, yeah.
And so essentially it's like very tracked out. The rear windows don't go down.
No rear seats.
No rear seats. Like, it's crazy. It's a little track car.
It's like forged carbon fiber roof.
Like, wow.
It's some cool shit, but it's also like, you know, going to be an extra... $15,000 on top of this price.
So they can leave more parts on the shelf.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all right. Just wait for the Papadakis edition.
Right?
Or the Turk edition.
The Turk edition? Yeah.
This is the Focus RS now.
Yeah, basically.
It's like the RS.
Yeah.
It's going to bring in that following.
Yeah.
I would love to see a Ryan Turk edition of this. That would be awesome.
Like, yeah, even higher spec'd version.
Yeah.
That would be crazy. Because, this thing already makes like 350 horsepower or something like close to that, isn't it? 320. I don't remember. It's been so long since I talked about the GR Corolla. I've forgotten about it.
I know about the Yaris, not the Corolla.
I think it's closer to 3 because...
Oh, and it's the same tune as the one in the Yaris, right?
295 foot-pounds, so yeah. I think it's just over 300, actually.
Is it the same three-cylinder?
Same three-cylinder.
Okay. Same engine.
Okay. They just tuned it up a little bit because it's in a bigger chassis. So they're like, yeah, it needs a little more power. That's my biggest disappointment with the Corolla in general, is it's not the Yaris. The Yaris was so fucking crazy cool, you know? And it's less weight and two-door, but...
Shorter wheelbase.
Shorter wheelbase. It's like, don't get me wrong, I'm glad we're getting this, but I don't know. If this came out in a different time when the car market wasn't so stupid, mm-hmm. I might actually think about trading the Fiesta for this, but there's just... For like $50,000, I'm going to buy a house. You know, I'm going to put a down payment down on a house.
Yeah, you can put a down payment down on a house in Aurora.
Right?
You still have to get a 30-year mortgage.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I still have like $3,000 a month payment, but, you know, whatever.
You could get a tiny house for that.
True.
There we go.
Yeah. I just need to find a place to park it.
Right outside.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Just Hamza? Build a garage. Be smart.
Yeah, no, I just... Like,
shouse.
Yeah. Barn Dominium, thank you.
Barn Dominium.
Yes. That's the official term.
That's the gentrified term.
Yeah. Shouse is like the redneck version.
Welcome to my shouse.
Oh, a
shouse.
Well,
you're never
going to
sell it if you call it that.
I was like, what is a shouse?
What the fuck?
No, okay, I got it. Okay. Shed house.
Shop house.
Yeah, shop house.
I thought it was a shed house.
This isn't Jimmy Broadbent.
I thought it was the episode of a Grand Tour. I don't know.
Yeah, true.
I was just thinking about Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys.
He lived in a van first, didn't he?
He lived in a shed, then he lived in a van, then he lived in another shed.
Listen, all I've learned from this little brief conversation is it's possible to live in a shed.
Yes.
And be successful.
It is.
Quote, unquote. But yeah. Anyways, that's enough GR Corolla talk because we do it every week.
Well, I do think it's cool. I don't know if we have this article, but the GR Corolla engine, Toyota was putting a few of those into 8.6 chassis for testing tunes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did we not talk about that last time around?
No, I don't think we did.
What?
They only made a few. It's not making it to production. They're using it to test and tune, but they are putting that 1.6 into some 8.6 chassis at the Toyota factory.
But you know, like the Toyota guy, like the
Subaru's not going to be happy.
No. They're just cutting Subaru out of the chassis at that point.
Pretty much.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. That's the perfect fucking combo.
Yeah.
That 1.3 in that chassis. That's a perfect car right there.
Oh, people would buy it.
Hey, I know. They could just call it the MR2.
Well, no, they can't.
Not a midship.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
M stands for midship.
It's a front midship. It's the FMR2.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, front midship.
There's an easy solution to a missing car. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, yeah.
Why don't they put the 2-liter four-cylinder that they put in the Supra?
I don't know. Well, because that's a BMW engine.
That's the most logical.
Well, that's a BMW engine, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a BMW engine. Yeah. This makes most logical sense because this is a Toyota engine.
Subaru. Sorry.
Yeah.
Love you. Bye.
I mean, at this point, I don't really understand why they still make two versions. We have how many different versions of the FRS, BRZ,
8.6, Toyobaru.
Yeah, just make one. Just make one and call it a day. The Toyota 8.6, call it a day, put that engine in it, get rid of this shitty Boxster engine that keeps blowing up. We didn't even talk about that, did we? It's been so long. The guy that had the warranty claim on the Subaru engine.
The guy?
Well,
which one?
The one that really blew up on the internet that the dealer wouldn't fucking put an engine in it for him because he was abusing it.
But it was stock, right? He hadn't modified it?
This has been a thing since like 2013. It's been a thing with these FA20s. Ever since the BRZ, FRS, GT86, whatever, ever since they came out, they've all had this RTV sealant issue because Subaru is incompetent with their motors.
Well, like on
the
oil pan?
They build good motors, they just don't know how to put it together.
They just can't put it together, yeah.
You're talking about like RTV on the oil pan?
The pickup tube.
Wow.
It just sucks it right through because they use so much. It's, you press in, say, the oil pan, and it presses all that excess in. Well, it heats up, it breaks off. There it goes to the pickup tube. Now you don't have any oil pressure because there's clogged RTV now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And knock, knock.
And they could literally just make an O-ring instead.
Well, like, I mean, every
oil
pan.
Or they could
pan.
Just clean up the process.
Yeah, they could just use less RTV.
All right, call it a day.
Right? I mean, that's some, like, American made bullshit.
Yeah,
like not some Japanese made stuff. It's kind of amazing.
Well, it's sad because we're seeing a lot of stuff like that on 22s right now. Like brand new cars, stuff from COVID production line. We're seeing like poor RTV jobs, stuff that wasn't cleaned up, stuff that wasn't assembled properly. I do warranty at Hyundai. I'm seeing like literal like window switches that weren't plugged in. Like at the factory, and there's warranty claims and electrical diag that goes into just finding a plug that wasn't installed properly.
Now here's something you think about, like the production line building assembly. How many times, how much calibration is necessary for all these machines to do? Because I mean, 90% of the time nowadays it's all robotically machine built cars. Not too many cars and manufacturers do hand built cars anymore.
No, all that RTV is laid out by a machine.
And even the hand built cars, it's a car that was pre built through the factory, brought to them, and then they got their hands onto it.
Yeah. They just assembled it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That means that there's a robot with a little RTV gun and they can't even get that right.
But how long has that robot been in use?
That's true. It's probably just gone out of calibration.
But again, that's what I'm saying. Like, they've got to be finely calibrated machines, but at a certain point, how often do they replace them? I bet that is part of the problem.
And it's probably gotten worse since they've sent a bunch of people home from the factories.
So I just got done this week. I did head gaskets on an FB20. FB20, so the same basic engine. And in the instructions for doing all that stuff for the, you know, the valve covers, your front timing cover, all that kind of stuff that has RTV, there's very clear definitions from Subaru or Toyota, whichever one you want to do, about like exactly what size bead and where to put that RTV. They are very precise about it. And the fact that they can't even do that stuff at their factories properly is, like you said, with a robot, it is just strange. I don't know how that got missed, honestly, for so long. Because like you said, it's been going on forever.
Yeah, because I can see, like I said, there have been COVID production issues. So like new stuff I see. But if this has been happening since 2013 and they have never fixed the issue, that's a problem. And I know Subaru's in charge of the manufacturing, so it's a Subaru problem.
You sound like you have something to add there.
I just clogged RTVs, stop your car's heart. I don't know. It doesn't really work, but I had to say
No, it basically worked.
I just had to say it.
No, that's the kind of production quality, though, that I would expect out of what I want to talk about next. Our Lord and Savior, the Tundar pickup truck.
What?
From China. It's not a Tundra. It's a Tundar. the knockoff Chinese version.
Do you guys remember Thundar the Barbarian?
Yeah.
That's all I can think about.
I know.
Just like has a mixture of five trucks in one.
Oh, it's so great. It's got a mini truck.
Mercedes G-Wagon roof line.
Right. But it's also the size of like
a Nissan Pathfinder rear end or Australian Oot truck.
Yeah. And then those wheel covers are like off my 1990 Chevy Lumina. There, I had to throw that reference in for my buddy Tony because he says I talk about my Lumina every time I do the show. So I'm going to throw that in.
You do talk about the Lumina every time. It's true.
Damn it. But
remember that.
Shut up. Yeah, I don't. The proportions.
How big is it? Like, what
it's,
are the
it's very
on
small.
It
doesn't look very big.
No, I mean, what are those, like 14-inch wheels? I mean, this engine is like a three-cylinder something.
It's a K-truck.
Oh, yeah, it's a 1-liter three-cylinder Isuzu engine.
Yeah, so it's a K-truck.
That's
but
interesting.
They put a full-size pickup truck front end on. I don't know.
It's got a five-speed manual. It's two-wheel drive. It has a top speed of 62 miles per hour.
You can drive that thing at 120%.
You're just flat everywhere.
It would be kind of funny to pull up in a K truck that had a kit on it like this to make it look like a full size truck.
Put it on its nuts.
Right, yeah.
Put some 17s on it.
Yeah,
and some bags like and just drop it onto the frame.
Like 20s.
Mini truck this shit. Yeah.
Of all of the Tundra iterations, they chose this one. It's not like the one right before, I think, was the sweet spot. Like,
yeah, no, they picked the one with the giant grill.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I don't get it, but this does lead to the whole.
You say Tundra, those are like Tacoma lights with a Tundra grill.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if they're actual Tacoma lights.
That would be funny if they got them from the same manufacturer.
They just, because, you know, they're manufactured in China anyways.
Yeah.
So they just go to the fucking factory and grab them. I just love how just blatant the Chinese are about, like, not giving a shit about copyright.
Well, and that's what I was saying, yeah, before we started the podcast was, you know, every time, like, if Toyota wants to sue about this, then there has to be a Chinese copyright judge who is willing to say, oh, no, the Tundar is in no way derivative of the Tundra and has nothing to do with it.
Look at that. That looks nothing alike.
He has to say that with a straight face and put it into a legal document. Like,
but people will go batshit crazy over the Mustang looking like a Camaro.
Right?
It looks like somebody did, like, a chibi anime car drawing of a Tundra. That's what it looks like, right? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, mm-hmm. Just the little...
Yeah, in the chibi anime version of Cars, this would be the Tundar.
Yeah. Tundar. What is... Now I don't know which one's which. Tundra? Tundar. There we go.
Somebody please just swap around the badges on the back of your Tundra. And call it the Tundar from now on.
It's pressed into
that. Oh, it is.
It's one piece.
That would be a very expensive joke. Yeah. But this isn't the best truck we're going to talk about today anyways, because we're going to talk about trucks for a little bit. This is the best truck. There is a company somewhere in America that is turning old Corollas into $35,000 electric pickup trucks.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing.
Right? That's like... Yeah, that's the perfect chassis.
Yeah, I'd take that over a Tundar any day.
Right? I wonder if they have a picture of the finished one? They have like the blueprint here.
Yeah, blueprint diagram.
No, can I F5 this? No. So unfortunately we don't have a picture to look at, but that's all right. We have the drawings. And
one day we'll wire the shop for actual internet.
Right? That would be nice. Right now I'm just like hotspotting to my phone, which is also recording video and probably overheating right now.
It's kind of nice being off grid, not having service for when we come here, you know? It's really, we have to get in touch with our Lord and Savior.
Our Lord and Savior, yeah. JC. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that in frame? Is it?
Yeah, it's in frame. Awesome. Of course it's in frame. Although we did mention it. We were supposed to just never mention it.
Oh,
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'll cut that out.
Too late.
Yep. Oh, that's all right. So, yeah, from now on, anybody else who comes to the show has to give a sacrifice of a hammer to JC.
Where's my green one?
Yeah, the giant one.
So you know it.
Yes. It just keeps coming up.
It does. But no, I only wanted to talk about this because A, it's a cool project and something I've thought about many times before about going into the future. We're trying to be, you know, environmentally conscious and, you know,
you're recycling the car.
Yeah, exactly. And people are going out and buying $120,000 Teslas that then burn to the ground and get shipped to a facility. And then, you know, it's just a big wasteful thing. You're not actually making any gains. Like you said, this, you're recycling a chassis. It's on the road. And it's going to be on the road. It's road for another 300,000 miles.
Well, and it's perfect. You literally said if you wanted to save the world, buy an old Toyota Corolla.
Yeah, and now you have a pickup version.
Now you can get both, a pickup electric version.
And I don't know. I don't still don't understand to this day why Americans never embrace the Ute.
I think the Ute's awesome. And when Australians come over here, they're just like, why do you guys have all these lifted trucks? It's so hard to put things up into the bed. Yeah.
It was wagons.
Yeah,
we had wagons.
We had wagons. They had Utes.
I say, yeah.
But even then, we got rid of wagons pretty fucking quick.
That's true.
And then Europe took over the wagons.
Yeah,
that's
the estate market.
Excuse me. Do you open the boot?
I do.
The bonnet.
So, which Corolla generation is it?
That is a good question.
I can't tell because I can't see.
Taking a brand new GR Corolla.
2009 through 2013.
So okay.
The weird, like, little bubbly
kind of
one.
Bubbly one, yeah. The one, the XRS. Can you get an XRS version of this with the 2ZZ motor?
But it's electric, right?
So shut up! I just want the truck version.
It's electric. You can't do that.
No, just sell me the body parts to convert it to a truck. That's all I really want.
Rick Davis, Camry. This is a Camry.
Yeah, it's a Camry.
Yeah, that has the 2GR engine in it.
No, that's right.
Which blew up a turbo. I don't know if
you
saw that.
Yeah,
oh, grenaded that fucking turbo. Okay.
When did you do that?
Was that Grimlock?
That slush.
Oh, that slush. Yeah.
Blew up his, yeah. big old smoke show.
He'll get that thing back together in a month.
We haven't talked about Track Attack either.
Right? No, we haven't. We haven't talked about a lot of stuff. Yes, we did. Well, we're going to talk about racing at the end here. So we're trying to get through all this news we missed first. What do I have next here? Oh, yeah. Speaking of trucks, can I watch this? Is it the video going to work? Oh, no. We have sound. So, Ferrari doesn't want you to call this an SUV, but it is totally an SUV, and Ferrari's making an SUV, and it pisses me off. But,
is it a Ute?
Yes.
No, it is not a Ute. It's an SUV, but it's a truck.
Oh, it looks kind of like the FF.
It looks like a Ferrari.
Like
it is a Ferrari.
Yeah, they were like...
Yeah, they just took an FF and made it taller.
Like, that's so cool.
That sound effect was perfect.
What I wonder is it,
oh yeah,
it's got suicide doors?
Come on.
Oh, that's awesome.
These guys are liking this more than I was expecting.
Look at it.
That's sick.
I mean, that's really fucking like, cool.
Oh, taking it down a dirt road? It's a rally car.
What I wonder is, so if this has the four-wheel drive system, does it do the same thing that they did with the FF? Which was
7 gears, rear wheel drive only.
Well, and it has a second transmission for the front of the engine.
I don't know about that.
Because Ferrari decided to completely reinvent the wheel to make four-wheel drive work.
I don't know, because this one's tall enough.
To where they could just have a differential.
Yeah, they could probably, because that was the whole point of having the two transmissions, is to make it as low to the ground as possible. Yeah, it's a bad name.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's great in Italian.
I would say, yeah, there's an Italian that is yelling at us right now.
But for us American mouths, we can't do it.
How much do you want to bet we're going to see these in Colorado in the first production?
Oh, they're going to be all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, it's their first four-door four-seater. I did not realize that.
What? No, they've made a four-door before.
Maranello's first ever four-door four-seater.
Huh.
Wow. It's the end. The end is near. That's right. How you know. Oh, yeah. It's almost
when Enzo Ferrari would be turning in his grave.
Oh, God. You know it.
Except for the V12. He'll give a nod of approval there.
That's right. The only reason that even gets to come to market is because it has a V12.
Yeah.
But, like, this is just, like, the sign of the times because every supercar maker makes an SUV now.
Because they're doing it to fund their fun cars.
Right. Because I've seen, like, one or two Aston Martin cars here, but I've seen, like, four of the SUVs.
Yeah, and you see, like, half a dozen Porsche SUVs for every 911 you see.
You don't work in Boulder.
Yeah, I know.
So many, like, just the supercars and the Urus. I see a Urus, like, every day.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just, like, yeah.
We were driving somewhere, like, kind of downtown.
I see the same Urus every day.
And there was a Urus, like, parked in this, of course, we know what home prices are downtown, but it was, like, this, like, janky old house. And those Urus parked out front. And I'm like, okay, priorities, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, but that janky old house probably cost $700,000.
True. That's very true.
Yeah, dude, my house was built in 1900. I think it's worth fucking $700,000.
Right. Yeah, because of where it is.
And it's haunted.
Dude, that's bad.
That bad. No,
you charge more for that.
Call up a TV show, like, bring them in.
It's got three ghosts, man. That's an investment.
Ricky's down in the basement, Charlie's in the attic.
Every failed exorcism adds six figures in value.
Oh, yeah. You live off of Broadway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably tons. Oh, man. Old Baker neighborhood's awesome.
Ghosts and homeless people. That's what you're dealing with right now.
Homeless ghosts.
Woo. Aren't all ghosts? Well, unless your house is haunted.
I was about to say, if they haunt your house.
If they stay in the house, then they're not.
Yeah, you're the squatter.
But how terrible would that be to be a ghost, but you're like tethered spiritually to like a fire hydrant?
Why is this the ghost of a dog?
Yeah. What the fuck is this? It's no, like you have nowhere to go.
If you're homeless and you die.
Two square
this
feet
is
of
horrible.
Sidewalk.
Yeah, you're a homeless guy. You die on the sidewalk. This is horrible. We're getting into really bad.
Oh, no. Let's explore. Let's explore. It's
going
to get
yes, bad. And. Come on. Let's keep going. So this is a weird little mystery that I found on online. Kind of talking about electric there earlier, so I didn't transition this well, but
we're talking about ghosts.
Well, we're gonna cut that all out.
Yes.
So what was it? It was like five or six of these brand new Ford Focus EVs showed up in a junkyard here in Colorado in one of the LKQ lots.
Wow.
But they came from California. They got dropped off a train. Brand new, stickers in the window still.
Interesting.
Never registered.
What?
Then they still have the batteries in them and everything?
I don't know what condition they were in.
Did you say 600?
Yeah, sticker price. What?
How many? What was the number? 600?
No, like five or six of them.
Oh, five or six. Yeah. I thought you said 100 after that.
No.
And I was like,
did I? Oh, God. I hope not.
Oh, my God.
That would be even more ridiculous. No. But the weird part is these are all from like 2017. So
they were never sold?
They were never sold, never registered.
I didn't know they made Focus EVs.
Originally delivered to South Bay Ford in Hawthorne, California by rail and somehow ended up in Denver.
Yeah.
You know, I have a theory. So California EV laws are tighter as far as what has to be warrantied.
$30,000.
$30,000 in the sticker. Yeah, so what has to be like... In California, an EV battery has to have a warranty of a certain length of time, and we don't have that here. So it's possible that by shipping them out of state and never registering them, they avoided a ton of liability in having to fix these things.
So it just went to a junkyard.
Yeah, but if they put it to a junkyard in California, they might have still been liable for...
Sounds like some California bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Checks out.
Well, like we had a Kona EV come in and it was from California and it's out of warranty in Colorado, but in California it's still in warranty.
Man, see, this is one of the times, like, could you have bought one or two of these cars,
right? Or were they just like never going to be, you know,
road legal? There had to have been something with Ford that happened with these.
See,
like, something wasn't right.
What I was wondering is
Brad Pedersen, I guarantee he would have got one of these.
Yeah.
Guarantee it. just because it's a Focus and it's different.
Right? Yeah, because I, like you said, I didn't really know they made Focus EVs.
Yeah, especially in 2017.
This thing comes with some pretty nice
heavy options.
Yeah. I zoomed in on the sticker, so it's got.
Let's say, can you get the window switches?
Yeah, I need those.
So it's a 6.6 kilowatt onboard charger with the 33.5 kilowatt hour. I don't know how to read that. Liquid cooled lithium ion battery.
Yeah, I don't know what that translates
to.
KWH,
yeah.
Like
after that,
that's good. What it translates to.
Does it?
No, I think it's just a smaller one.
But the batteries are still on board these things and they're sitting in a junkyard?
See, that's the other question. Maybe? What did they do? They had to have pulled
them. Who made the batteries?
There's no way they could
at that time because they didn't.
I don't know. I will say my theory of this is either Tesla, Lucid, or Rivian bought these things way back in the day to do testing on.
Hmm.
Well, they needed something to like compare and contrast.
When was this posted?
Some of their, this was just posted like 18th. Yeah, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
But because 2017, that was about the time that everybody was getting EV crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to develop their own shit and how all these startups and stuff like that, or maybe a failed startup that we never even really knew about. You know, that was going to try to be one of these new car manufacturers, bought these to tear apart, never registered, never put them on the road.
It's a Ford sticker.
Yeah.
It's fully Ford.
Yeah.
Focus Electric.
Special order.
Yep, special, yeah.
Delivered by
Rail. Because Fisker was even still a thing in 2017, huh?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it could have been any of those startups, like you were saying.
And they just bought them to tear them apart and learn how EVs work. Because you know how startups are. You have an idea, you start a business, and then you figure out what your product is.
Right. You design a really cool logo and start a GoFundMe.
And then eventually, maybe you'll make a product.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But, yeah, there'll be links to this in the show notes, of course. Check out the post and let us know what your theories are. Because, I don't know, it's just a very interesting mystery.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
Hard to do from this angle. All right. Yes, I did put some of the EV stuff together. All right. So the fastest accelerating electric vehicle record has been broken by a team of students in Germany with one of their basically a Formula SAE car, but electric. And what's the time on this again?
What is it? A 60 foot?
1.461 seconds.
Wow.
To 62 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So to 100 kilometers an hour, 1.6 seconds.
No, 62.
62 kilometers is
100 miles.
Or 62 miles is 100 kilometers.
Yeah, 100 kilometers an hour and 1.4
seconds. Yeah, but they did it on Hoosiers.
Still.
I'll put some Mickey Thompson radials on. Let's see how it really goes.
Right? I can't imagine that kind of acceleration.
Yeah, that's neck snapping.
Right?
Have you ever been in a Plaid?
Not yet, no.
Oh, my God.
What are the Plaid does it in what, the twos?
Something like that.
I don't know. This is like a formula car. That's crazy that the Plaid can do it in the two.
With a full interior and four people sitting in it?
Yeah. Like, it's nothing.
Yeah, it weighs probably 10 of those.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. No, the Plaid is amazing. I've only done the fastest Tesla I've been in is a Model X 100D, whatever.
P100D. Okay.
Exactly. Whatever. I can't remember their designations. And that thing was even, like, you launch that thing a few times in a row, and you're like, that's rough.
That seats seven people.
Does it?
The Model X?
Yeah, the Model X seats
seven people.
So the article says that this is roughly equivalent to the force experienced by astronauts when a rocket re-enters the Earth's atmosphere. So there you go.
Okay, so not leaving the Earth's atmosphere.
I feel like an astronaut today. Right.
But at least we didn't get too ridiculous. It's not leaving the atmosphere. It's just coming back.
Well, yeah. I mean, coming back, though, wouldn't that be slowing down?
Yeah, you're slowing down. Leaving, you're just accelerating.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I kind of wonder what this is going to do to the future of Formula SAE stuff, too. Because I had friends that went to engineering college and built Formula SAE cars with, you know, motorcycle engines and competed in that. I was like, man, are we going to start making some ridiculous little electric cars to go racing with?
No, Formula E is a thing. They just have crazy limits on power and charges and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I mean, just the student side of this, you know?
It does and doesn't. Like, there's a the strategy side, I fully get it. But it is something that's restrictive because they're trying to be on the green, environmental friendly side. They're not trying to be wasteful with their use of energy, in a sense.
Well, it's like on our last podcast, we talked about how the Hummer EV makes more carbon than the than an economy car.
Yeah.
I think it was a Malibu, right?
Yeah, oh, it was a Chevy Malibu.
Yeah.
It's very...
Someone out there owns every generation of Hummer. I want to see it.
Do you want to meet that person, though?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
just...
You know, though, Schwarzenegger now would totally own an EV Hummer.
Yeah.
Like,
no, he's all on that.
Yeah, he's like totally into that.
Like, I don't want to pump any fuel.
It'd be awesome if him and Stallone got into the rivalry again.
I think they missed that, but I'm going to keep it
that
in.
That was for us. I'm gonna, I don't care.
Why is this becoming a thing?
The one-seater?
The one-seater thing?
Yeah, like old-school Euro speedsters. That's exactly what that is right there.
So this is a brief segment. We got three articles to talk about. I'm going to call the JDM Resurgence. Or old school JDM resurgence. Yeah, there's a company out there that is making, oh, I'm getting messages on Discord. I should have closed that. I am so professional. That is redoing NA Miatas into like little single-seater speedsters with ND drivetrains in them.
Oh, that's got a new drivetrain in it.
Yeah.
It's not the Fiata drivetrain, sorry.
No, it's a Miata drivetrain.
You want that little, what is it, a 1.3 turbo?
1.4.
1.5, yeah. 4, whatever. Yeah. Same as what comes in like the darts and stuff like
that. Yeah, I hate those engines. They're no good.
Is that that multi
500 Abarth, bro? Come
on. Yeah, but they're not good. Well, to be fair though, the problems I've seen with all the multi-air engines are the owners not taking care of the engines.
Yeah.
So, you know, because it's all Chrysler products.
Yeah, I could
so
say, like this, I could say the same about an EcoBoost.
Yeah.
The owner thought the car was reliable until 30 pounds of boost on a banked oval. Knock, knock. Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I get that.
Oh, that's
I should turn my boost
yeah,
down.
No shit.
Oh, that's
yeah, that's why his Fiesta's unfortunately still
just sitting there.
Sitting.
Looking pretty in front of the Turbo Escort. Looking like shit.
I didn't even know you had a Turbo Escort.
Yeah, I've got Jeff Herk's old Turbo Escort.
Oh, do you? Okay. I didn't know you owned that now.
It's just sat there for years.
Yeah. Another one.
It's become a parts car for Ben Thorne and Gears and Gasoline. Whenever,
oh, really?
Whenever. Speaking of which, I got to get all the Mega Squirt and engine management stuff to Jeff. That's all it is. Just, you want part? All right.
Yeah, just tear it off there. That works.
But that differential? Mine.
Well, don't put that in the Escort. You'll be a
shut up. Nobody needs to know.
It's all right. Nobody listens to the podcast.
I'd rather not break the M Factory.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I'll leave that for local events. I'll probably put the M Factory in for Track Attack.
So even the aftermarket diffs are breaking on those gearboxes?
Not really. Just
okay.
I just don't want to.
That's fair.
I don't want to run that risk.
Yeah.
You jump a curb and break it?
No. Run the risk of being a cheeky, sly devil.
Oh, got you.
Running a limited slip diff in an open diff only class.
And then if you win, they're like, let me look at your drivetrain.
The shush.
So, this Miata, though, I mean, it's basically just an NA Miata. You know, there's not a whole lot done to it other than cutting the windshield off, adding this really cool, D-type... thing behind the...
Is there a name for that thing?
I'm sure there is.
Speedster, probably.
Well, the little thing
no,
behind
this,
the
this
head.
Little thing they put behind the headrest.
Oh.
Roll hoop.
I mean, it is, but it's not... I mean, the hoop and then whatever the aerodynamic thing
speed
is.
Speed tail hoop.
It says in motorsports.
It'd be like a speed...
Roll hoop right at
speed
the end
tail, yeah. Speed tail roll hoop.
I mean, that's a really bad roll hoop, though, because that guy's helmet is above it.
Oh, no, yeah.
He has not passed the broom test.
Yeah, that's all Miatas.
Yeah.
Have you seen Sam and JP when they're in their Miatas at Track Attack?
No.
Oh, Sam, I'm sure your head's up there in your Miata, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My helmet on.
Well, if I ever get another NA Miata, I'm making a custom roll hoop for it that's extra tall, and the top will never go back up again.
If you ever see JP's... Lemons Miata, that cage is that way, like where the windshield goes, it goes like up here above the windshield.
Yeah,
because they're 6'2".
Right, you have to.
That's a NASA spec cage.
Lemons.
Yeah, they go above the.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, okay. I know lots of some people do the floor pan lowering too.
Yeah, didn't Evan do that?
He's going to, yeah.
Yeah, because he had to bolt it straight to the floor.
Yeah, with a floor plan.
And he's like, what, 6'3"?
Yeah, he's a tall dude. But, yeah, of course, the only problem with this Miata is, let me find the price here on the article.
Oh, no.
It's really nice to imagine what's going on.
First of all,
without...
you're looking for a $5,000
chassis. Oh, wow. My monitor today. I'm just like, I like what? All the...
That's why we needed the DVI.
Yeah, the dot. Yeah. But it's just nice to imagine. I can picture... I'm going to pull it up later and just see if I was right. But...
Oh, this is a long-winded article. Oh, there we go. Around $70,000.
Okay.
All right, so this...
I'm just going to buy an ND. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
right?
Well, this goes back to that question we posed a long time ago, and it's funny because I always get different answers from car guys. If you have 85 grand to spend on a Roadster, you can get a backdraft Cobra, or you can get a turnkey LS swap from Flying Miata on an ND, or now you can get one of these.
Caterham.
So you'd go Caterham.
You can get one hell of a Caterham.
Yeah, for 85 grand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that's what the R500 costs about that much, right?
Say it's not going to be a regular Caterham.
But yeah, it's just really cool. If you had 85 grand to spend on a little Roadster, you've got a lot of options. And it's funny because a lot of people seem to pick Miata or Cobra and really stick to their guns on one or the other.
Or S2000.
I was going to say.
Yeah, S2000 is...
A nice turbo built S2000.
Yeah.
I mean, for 80 grand, you could build a really nice S2000.
You could.
Dude, you could, for half that, you could just do a simple supercharger setup or something small, makes 350, 400.
Turbo K swap.
Or that. I just leave the F in it. You don't even need to swap it.
For 80K, you can get a used SLK65 with a twin turbo V12.
Wow. Now, those are automatic only, but still.
Yeah, but it's still one hell of a car.
Yeah, that's a tire-boiling car. That's true.
Is the F-Type considered a roadster?
Sure.
Yeah, top
of that's right there in the price range.
Yeah.
I'd get one of them.
It's like got all those cracks and burbles.
Yeah. The one that will get you,
I just say.
Yeah, the one that will get you pulled over from the factory.
Yeah, did you guys see that article I posted?
Yeah, but now an Elantra will do that.
I still don't get it. That's funny.
That is wild, right? This guy gets pulled over in California with a bone stock Elantra in Crackletoon mode. And the cop cites him and revokes his registration on the spot.
It happens to Lamborghinis and Ferraris, all the exotics too.
Yeah, but this
but
is
those
a
people
Elantra.
Can afford it. This person bought a Hyundai Elantra, and now they've got and they had to go to the dealership and ask them to do something that was impossible.
I'm glad officers just look at my car and probably say, "Well, that thing's a piece of shit.
This guy has no money. Like, why are we even going to take it?
We're not going
to
get anything out of this guy.
Your punishment is driving.
Yeah, exactly. This man looks like the type of guy that will fight the ticket. Oh, yeah, I couldn't believe that, though, because I think it's, the last time I knew it was still sitting at the dealership because until it gets fixed, it can't be registered.
Right, the state is demanding that they remove the track mode, which, like, put it back to stock, and he brought it to Hyundai, and Hyundai's like, it's stock. We can't make it any more stock than it is.
We would be aftermarket if we made it.
So wait, but it's got the letter
in. Is it valved? Is the...
Valvetronic.
Yes, but
in the exhaust.
Here's the problem. If you... tune the ECU, that's against the law. So you
then
can't
meet
out
car restrictions
that
like
version.
Because like I have, like if I put the GTI in sport mode, that's when my burbles turn on. But if I don't, then it's normal.
Right.
But they're like quiet burbles.
Oh my god, dude. That was the funniest gesture ever.
At least it's on camera.
They're classy little burbles.
It's a champagne of burbles.
You want some burbly? Oh my god. That's crazy.
I like
well,
that,
you
the
know
champagne
what?
Of burbles. you could make like a whole Coors logo. Oh, that'd be great. God.
No, that's definitely the F-Type is the champagne of bourbon.
Oh, dude,
you
so
are
good.
Maybe at best some weird Pilsner Oktoberfest of bourbon.
You're the Boone's Farm. Yeah.
The Colt 45 of bourbon.
No, that's
Edward
the...
Edward 48.
The Colt 45 of
the Steel Reserve of bourbon.
Oh, fuck.
That's what you get for buying a performance Hyundai. That's your own fault, dude. You should have just bought a fucking Focus RS or something. Buy a real fucking tuner car. Yeah. That's what you get.
I mean, in a way, the officer's just saving him trouble because the thing's going to blow up in 5,000 miles anyways and hit the dealer anyways.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Did I offend you because you hit the Veloster?
No, I want to make sure.
I just want to. I just really wanted to hear that part of it, so no, that we could reassure the listeners that you don't buy a performance.
That is the same engine too. It's still the 1.6 turbo from the Veloster.
I'm still submitting engine warranty claims for Velosters.
I thought the 2 liter was only in the end. The Veloster N.
All the N's. Oh. The actual N. This is an actual N, not an N line. Oh, yeah. It's okay. An N, like N.
The Elantra N, yeah, with the little red trim and everything.
What?
Isn't the N, I'm sorry, I just thought about this. So the guy that went over, he went from BMW, right?
Right, he went from the N
division.
So he
just literally went one fucking letter down the alphabet? Yep. Is that what happened?
Yeah. That's what the Koreans do. They just copy other people. They're like, you're M, we're N.
Yeah.
We're one better.
They literally stole the M guy.
That guy is going to go and be just to the next company.
The O?
Exactly.
The O division.
Like, if you got sniped by, or, you know, like, stolen effectively by can you imagine how much money they had to give that guy for him to be like, yeah, I'll come.
All right,
Hyundai.
I'll come. Right, I will step from BMW to Hyundai. Like, yeah,
God, I mean,
it's a bad career move, in my opinion.
Not if they pay you like a ton of money.
I'll say, but here's the thing, he's probably gotten the creative freedom going there, where BMW are probably like, no, here's your book,
yeah,
get to it.
Yeah,
that's true. Hyundai probably gives him carte blanche. He could probably do whatever he wants.
Exactly. I was going to say you say that, but look at all the recent N electric concept cars. They've got like that N76 or whatever it is.
The one that looks like a crazy DeLorean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that stuff's going to come out.
No, but it's pretty clear that like that guy has some like more free reign, like Lucas was saying. Like BMW is just out there deciding what size to grill to make on their next car.
And they're wrong, whatever they decide.
Every time.
They're just wrong.
Look at the race cars. The race cars, that's why they do
it. I guess. The race car does look better.
Screw the consumer.
But
it's all about us motorsports people.
Yeah, because they just
brought
out the M2.
Those things are hideous.
The M4 is really
car.
Ugly.
The new ones are so bad.
Although the new car, M2 that's coming out, the grill actually looks pretty decent. The concept, they actually kind of made the kidney grill. They kind of brought it back. Yeah, it looks like futuristic
it's
retro.
Right there.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, the orange one. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that
I don't
new
even need to see it to know how bad it is.
It's different. It's smaller.
This laptop. I swear to God,
it's a mini M4.
Yeah,
I would kill to.
Dude, I'd definitely drive one of those. And you know what the funny thing is? You probably get better pricing on one of those than a Supra.
Son, his F80, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, that's a
those
great
thing.
One.
Watching him and others wheel those big boat of an M3, it's great. And they sound so good.
They do sound awesome. Inline six turbos just sound amazing.
See, it doesn't look bad.
No, I actually like the M. Like, everybody's making fun of this thing. I like this.
It's not
well,
the
thing is, this
what
is a dramatic improvement
six
over
crazy
what's
one?
There. The four is the crazy
oh,
one. The
M4,
one where
yeah.
the grill's like yeah. the whole length of the front end.
See, and again, in the race car GT3 version is, it looks beautiful.
So it looks good with aero.
Proportionally
it. Okay.
to the width of it, it looks, you're like, oh, that looks right. But
consumer wise, it looks like awful.
The wide, like the over fenders or whatever, the wide body kit, and you're just like, whoa.
But this doesn't look too bad.
Well,
no,
but
this is a step in the right direction.
I do understand there's like this weird
like those are
squareness
down,
and
though.
Roundness going
like
on.
Kid,
yeah, but that's the classic BMW
down.
Look.
Yeah.
Kind of hexagonal.
Those vents or where the fog lights or whatever, like on the blower side. I mean, those look weird, yeah.
Well, a lot of time BMW use that for brake ducting too.
Yeah. I see the
out of all of them they made recently, I think that's
I
my favorite so far.
I don't care what it looks like. 453 horsepower. Just
yeah.
I'll take it.
That's
Let's
true.
Go.
And
an
possibly underrated too. It may make more than that.
Oh yeah, because BMW always does that.
A coupe. It's small and it comes with a 6-speed.
Yeah, 6-speed standard.
Yeah.
And it is a detuned M4, so you're like software away from making that much power.
Right. Oh yeah. I mean, a software tune. This thing's making 500 all day. Anyways, that's enough German cars. Back to Japanese cars. Here's something really cool. Dart is now making a new 2JZ block. Full cast iron. Strong-ass 2, like even stronger than a regular 2JZ.
That's awesome. Is it a billet block?
Well, it's cast iron.
Oh, cast iron. You said that. You said those words.
Yes.
Doesn't that make it heavier?
Yes, but it makes it way stronger, too.
That's why the factory 2Js can hold 800 horsepower.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe there is a problem with 2J's blowing up cylinder blocks at a certain horsepower.
Yeah, about 1700, 1800, 2000. That's about where you start to really fuck those up.
Right, so now we have a cast iron block, so you can do like 3,000 horsepower. That's,
well, yeah, I mean, because a lot of the drag cars now are 2,500-ish, I mean, for all the 2J stuff. And they used to just, you know, fill them with concrete and whatever. But,
right.
Yeah, having a nice dart block, an iron, a cast iron dart block, to right. be specific.
Yeah, it's got upgraded main journals and yeah, all new webbing. It's like Dart actually redesigned the block. It's not just like a perfect one for one casting to make it even stronger. So yeah, we'll see it. We'll see 3,000 horsepower out of these.
Surprise! Yamaha isn't stepping in and saying anything.
Or the head.
Because Yamaha, Yamaha made the heads for Toyota, but they didn't make the block.
Okay, Toyota.
I mean,
Toyota don't take copyright shit very lightly.
Yeah, but it's different. I just said it's different.
It's just different. Yeah, it's the 2JZ plus. It's got a plus sign. It's different.
Yeah, it's totally
different. Clearly, Toyota doesn't give a shit about copyright. Say,
is this the new Tundar motor?
Yeah. Yes, this is. This is the 2GB. I don't know.
I'm sure Daigo Saito is thrilled about this.
2GB, no shit.
Where can I get one?
Yeah.
No, I want one. It's
just, right?
Because he had a 1,200 horsepower car in drift running a 2J.
What is it?
Daigo Saito was running a 1,200 horsepower 2J setup for a couple
years.
Jesus,
yeah.
Before the whole tire gate scandal thing happened.
Oh, was that? Wow, that was a while back.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
But he made when I saw him live in Road Atlanta, and he made more smoke than everybody else that year.
But I'm just excited because we're officially at the point now in like Japanese tuner cars where like American cars were 10, 15 years ago, you know, where like aftermarket companies are making whole engines, making blocks, stuff like that. And this is the shit we need to keep these cars going well into the future.
So we need a reproduction RB block now.
Right.
And
I was gonna say they got the RB wrong in the first place anyway, so they need to redo that.
Excuse you,
you're a Toyota fan guy.
I'm
over here.
A 2GB guy. Yeah. You know?
I've seen people do like here in Colorado, there's a shop that sold, I guess they're what's the EVA engine? Oh my gosh,
the
4G63 out in Lakewood. What are they called?
Or 4B11.
Right, but only for the Evo 10.
Yeah. What is that shop called? They're out in Lakewood. They're off of like I want to say Pierce and or maybe Wadsworth in like 12th or something like that.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a lot of shops over there.
Yeah, no, but like you walk in there and it's like it's kind of like K series in the sense that they have this showroom and you go in there and they've got like they make these. I guess they're aluminum blocks. I don't know, whatever. But they look amazing. Like
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it'd be cool if they made new 4B11 stuff, too, because you can find 4G63 stuff. But
it's getting harder to find.
But if you have a...
It's getting so hard to find good 4G63 stuff. Really, you know how many of those engines blew up and just destroyed the fucking cylinder walls?
Like one every single month?
Yeah, pretty much.
Of every car, every person. Yeah.
Dude, I will
But if you blow up a 4B11, you're screwed. Like, you can't find another one
of those. Well, nobody will touch one of those. I mean, when I was at AG for that period of time, 4G prices through the roof. Can't fucking find them. 4B11 stuff, nobody wants to do anything big horsepower with that. So 700 is kind of your limit. That's to me, that's a trash motor. I don't know.
700 horsepower, such trash.
Man, it's so unfortunate.
But there used to be so many 4G63s in the world. There were people like using them in Thailand as riverboat motors and stuff.
Right.
Like just bolt the crank straight to a propeller and just stick it in the water.
Yeah, I mean, we just... Hold on. We'll get to this in a second. Hold your horses.
Now you've tickled my fancy.
All right.
Cars performance.
Oh, okay. Oh, really? They do that.
I'd love to go out there and check that place out.
But, you know, there's
big, but
the house that's next to our condo there. We went for a walk, and there's a 1G and a 2G DSM sitting in the yard there.
Really?
And I was like, holy shit. And they're both clean. I'm like, there's like 20 grand worth of car sitting right there.
That guy's got a bunch of cool shit in his yard.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah,
I need to go talk to him. I think he's actually cool.
Doesn't he have a
school shit in his yard?
Didn't he have a school bus for a minute?
Oh, it's still there. There's a fire truck out back.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, a whole bunch of shit. But no, to continue our continuation of old school JDM shit, Nissan worked with a engine manufacturer. I think it was, nope, can't think of the name. In Japan to make 30 new SR20 DETs. Only 30.
Only 30.
Weirdly enough, but brand new, everything.
Those are going to pull a premium before recess.
Thank you. Somebody had to do it. But yeah, this isn't quite as cool as like the Dart thing where consumers are going to get their hands on this.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the hell they're exactly making.
But that means
these
plans exist and somewhere the machinery exists.
Right, yeah.
Somebody else could buy that out.
Yeah, I mean, because it's all sand cast, but somebody still has the molds.
Yeah.
You know, which I'm not surprised. Why would you throw the molds out?
I mean, it would be awesome if we could get molds for a lot of old Sylvia stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we're talking about reproduction engines. I'd love some body panels.
Right?
That would be awesome.
Well, I mean, Nissan's done continuation shit for the Skylines, and, you know, Mazda was making new parts for Miatas, and...
Yeah, and Toyota came out with some A86 parts.
Yeah.
Looking, I say, of course, it's in Japan, I'm sure there's body panel parts for S14, like, new,
like,
factory ones.
Like, new-made ones.
Because we get 34 quarter panels.
Really?
And 33.
Okay.
We can't find 32, but, I mean, we've done some quarter panels, and... Done GTST to GTR quarter panel swaps, but they're brand new from Japan, or Nissan in Japan.
And they bolt on like OE.
I mean, not bolt on. We got to cut weld and weld.
Okay.
Yeah. It's an actual quarter panel, not like an overfender.
Oh, okay. So it's like an actual...
Yes. Actual OEM manufacturer quarter panels.
Dude, that's cool.
That you would do typical procedure for body replacement, panel replacement.
Dude, that is really cool.
So I mean, that makes sense because those cars are... You know, worth the money that Nissan's like.
And you got to figure a lot of R33s and S chassis and stuff, they were in Canada, like the right hand drive models. So a lot of places you can get stuff sent to Canada and sent down to the States.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, all the body panels are clean on your car, though.
They are.
I mean,
for
they're
now.
Rusty, but.
For now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just needs paint.
It's just a clutch kick or two or away.
Yeah.
We just got to get that clutch in it first so you can.
So
yeah,
I can break
away.
The body panels.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, it's kind of weird that we're seeing, well, we're not seeing anything right now because the pictures won't load.
Refresh.
Right. But we're seeing, like, a lot of this stuff, and we're seeing the prices of all these cars that we wanted, as we talked about before, just continue to skyrocket.
They really are going up.
Yeah. And it makes me so mad that I never thought, stupidly enough, that these cars would ever be worth money, but...
They used to be so cheap.
Right.
I mean, even cars like... I mean, when I was in high school, Fox Body Mustangs were like $2,000.
Mm-hmm. I almost bought one for my first car.
Yeah, and now they're like 10 grand to find a clapped one.
Yeah. I bought mine for $3,500 in high school, and it was already cammed, nitrous, drag radial skinnies, roll cage, like...
What?
Yeah. It wasn't super pretty. It was an old cop car, but it was like, it fucking ran right... It was good to go. $3,500. Done deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that these days.
Yeah, you couldn't even find one with an engine.
Try to sell a CRX for $3,000.
That was a coupe, too, by the way. Anyway, yeah, well, you know what? The CRX, I'm almost... Yeah.
How much did you make on the CRX?
A couple $100. I made, like, maybe 600 profit.
I mean, 600 profit, considering that we just kind of messed around with it here and didn't really put a lot into it.
I mean, the fact is, you know, that CRX, we didn't have the time or...
No.
Things to do, what needed to be done to it, and it's now out of a field and into somebody's hands that are going to do something with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So. You did your middleman job.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's fine. All right. Moving on to a segment I'm going to be I got two things to talk about that I'm going to be calling Automotive News Sucks. We're not Automotive News. We're just report on the news. It's different.
We don't make the news.
Yes.
Although I wouldn't mind being a headline.
Right. No, I've seen some things go around, and I'm just like, man, the internet is just terrible in a lot of ways, this clickbait shit that they need to do, and how they have to make articles and whatnot, but this one, I had to laugh, because some dude spotted this car in a Honda, or was it Acura? No, Honda dealership in Japan. Some guy was just going for a walk and saw this car, and he took some pictures of it, posted it to the internet, so you're like, oh, what's this? And every media outlet was like, Honda's building a Mini NSX. Honda's been building a Mini NSX. Look at this. We have spy shots. And then come to find out, no, this car was actually a concept they showed back in like 2016.
It's the new Del Sol.
And another car that needs to come back.
Right? That would be sweet, man.
There's no way a Del Sol would sell.
It have to be mid-engine, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, I just love that they had the gall to make it. Right? You know?
Yeah, but that was Japanese 90s bubble economy, man. Just make anything. It'll sell. It's fine.
Pretty much.
But yeah, I just love how every... I mean, car and driver. This is car and driver. Picked this up and was like, Honda's building the Mini NSX. Holy shit. Only for people in the comments to be like, this concept's like 6-7 years old. Oof. You report, they, people were linking Car and Driver's article where they reported on this concept back to them.
Oh my God.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I was going to ask if anybody brought the receipts.
So, this always makes me think of, like, especially on social media and outlets and such, seeing somebody, I'm trying to think of who it was. Let's say Michael Jackson. The day Michael Jackson died, say you had a post from 4 years ago. You go back a week after, or like say the week of Michael Jackson's death, and it's like, oh, on this day 4 years ago, you edit that post to say, in 4 years, Michael Jackson's gonna die. And then you share it and you become a viral sensation because everyone's like, oh my God, this guy predicted his death.
Right?
Why is it so hard for people to click on the little edit history option and see what the original post was?
Right.
Yeah, nobody. That's what this makes me think of.
Yeah, well, because everybody...
People just believe whatever they want to be like, oh my God, it's the new NSX. Right. We're getting a new car.
Yeah, and they won't read the article. They just headline, picture, boom, all the information you need.
That's it.
You know, and it's that... I guess that transitions into my next point, and I don't actually have a picture for this because this is just in general, is... This happens all the time, and with people, I see this happen. It's usually like your uncle that doesn't really know cars all that well, you know, but he's like, back before they were actually making a new Bronco, I remember this being like, oh, did you see that picture of the new Bronco they're making back in like 2010? Like, it was some dude did a render.
Yeah.
And then news articles were like, the 2012 Bronco, you know, and it's like, no, it's not. It's just some dude drew a picture.
Yeah.
And
this is when Ford did their like 10-year deal of we're coming out with new models of all this and that.
But you'd see it with everything, you know. Yeah. It's like here's what the new Mustang.
I honestly think the problem is that the renders look so good. Not good in the sense
people
that the,
people
just,
have
they
very
look so real.
Yeah,
and they're
people
like,
have very
this
good
is a car.
Creative interpretations.
Yeah, and they're like, this is totally a car. And you're like, no, this is like a computer generated image. They're like, I don't see that. And you're
right.
Like, I mean, that's the problem with like deep fakes and all, like with the graphics are just too damn good. Like, we're getting into that point where
I mean,
we won't be able to tell anymore.
I agree with that. But what I hate is that these news like sites report on it as if it's news.
Just one photo completely out of context.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's like that render they did of the 5th gen Camaro as a Trans Am. Everybody's
oh,
like, there's going to be a new Trans Am. And then it was so good that there was an aftermarket company that actually started building them out of 5th-gen Camaros.
Yeah.
But for a while, it was just the same kind of bullshit.
Or
it
when Roadrunner specials were supposed to be a thing with Challengers.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And all it was some company making Roadrunner replicas with new Challengers.
Right, right. And they're like, Dodge is going to make this. Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's just some backwoods hillbilly over here.
Somebody missed the Roadrunner. That it.
Yeah, I hate every time I see, like, this is what the new Mustang would look like if it was lifted. This isn't news.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of cool. If you want to share that image, it'd be like, hey, this guy did this render. It looks cool. Yeah. That's fine. But it's not a news article.
Yeah.
You know, and then most of the time anymore, the articles are just written by an AI. So it's just some site taking a picture and having an AI write up a bunch of bullshit and then putting it out into the world because they just need clicks.
Do you think that some of the major media outlets do this too? Like for actual news? Could this
no.
be a thing?
No.
No?
No, that's impossible. They have too much integrity.
Journalistic integrity.
Hold on. You say that. Oscar Piastri. He like... Okay. Formula One announced, and so did Alpine.
I do remember that.
Oscar Piastri, when Fernando Alonso was like, all right, see you guys later, I'm gonna go replace Vettel over at Aston Martin, they're like, all right, obviously Piastri's our driver.
Right.
And Piastri's like, excuse you? We don't have a contract in place. Why did you announce me as your driver?
Right.
And Formula One and everyone had already posted. And Piastri's in Australia, probably sleeping, zonked out. Wakes up to a million messages. Congratulations, dude. Like,
he's like, they know, for what?
They know about my McLaren deal?
Yeah.
And that's how I guarantee the first thing that popped in his head is because he had already been in talks with McLaren. And why Alpine decided it was the smart thing to do to announce him as their driver was just out of, like, haste and upset with Alonso saying he's leaving.
Right, because it goes back to the whole thing.
Backfired on him so bad.
It did, but do we blame them or do we blame the fact that they think they have to put this out right away because the news is going to go fucking crazy with it?
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd both. Rather put out something and have it be 100% inaccurate.
Well, they just want they want to be in control of the narrative.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the media will take control of the narrative and they just do whatever the fuck they want, clearly.
They really do. Can you imagine being the guy who just walked by and snapped these pictures?
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I was
It's like
say.
All I did was take some pictures. This looked kind of cool.
Right.
I didn't even put Mini NSX in the caption.
No, and suddenly, like, your pictures are just all over the internet.
I just saw a cool car that had Honda badges on it. I wasn't sure, just seeing if somebody knew.
Right.
Maybe I forgot or, like, lost. Is this a new NSX? I didn't know.
The only plus I could see to this is if Honda was like, wow, a lot of people really want a Mini NSX.
Right,
maybe
yeah.
We should build that.
That would be great.
Front
never
wheel drive
happening.
Del Sol.
I mean, I think a new Del Sol would be awesome.
No.
You don't like it? Am I the only one here who loved the Del Sol?
I liked it at the time.
I still like Del Sols.
I never have.
Okay, let me put it this way. Look what they did to the Integra.
Yeah. Like, they can't be trusted.
Let's not.
You're right. That would be a really sad sight. It would be like a sedan with four different removable roofs.
Be a Jeep Renegade lower.
It wouldn't even have, like, a rear glass panel, like a CRX.
Right.
It would be a crossover SUV.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
It would be like, this is how the Murano Cross Tour happened.
This is how that got
inflicted upon the world.
Yeah, it would be like the Eclipse or the Murano Convert. That's exactly what
this
it would
is how we get things like that, apparently.
The Lancer Sportback.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Rally Art Edition.
Somebody should just take Mitsubishi and put them out of their misery already. They're done.
We think we'd make it to 50, but here's to another 50 more. We got another year left in this place at least before I'm thinking about buying a house. And
oh yeah,
I don't know. I think this is still gonna be the Church of Speed though. It's just too good of a spot.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
you know.
Sure. Yeah.
So we're gonna be here for another 50 more.
I'm gonna try at least this for as long as I can.
Please.
I don't blame you. But if you want to follow everything we're doing, of course, Heretics, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at religionofspeed.co. religionofspeed.com is the place to go for everything we are doing, and youtube.com, search for Religion of Speed. We're not good enough to have our own URL yet.
Yes, so please share, like, follow, subscribe,
yes.
Watch all the videos 10 times.
Yeah, do the things I'm not out there telling people to do. Like, do the promotion for us, please, because I suck at it. And I guess, Huffman, that leaves just one last thing to do.
We'd like to thank the band Wheels for the use of our theme song, Colors. And you can find them on the album Traveler Part 1 at wheelstheband@bandcamp.com.
All right, that's going to do it. Thank you, everybody, that showed up for our barbecue. Thank you, Lucas, for hanging out.
Thank you.
And until next time, Heretics, peace out.
I'm speaking this microphone right now, but
I turned it off.